This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 21st, episode 1524, brought to you by our auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-do!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate you stopping by. Jamie, I have to tell you, our Canadian neighbors know how to do things.
Yeah?
Yeah. How about by the year 2017, next year, they will have completed the longest single network of recreational trails in the world. How about 12,905 miles of contiguous trail? So you will be able to go...
Horses, people, bikes, four-wheelers, what
actually,
are we talking?
This is what we're talking. It's called the Great Trail. It offers a wide range of outdoor experiences on land and water. It is exclusively designed for recreational purposes and only allows bikes, hikers, and horseback riders in the summer and cross-country skiing and snowmobiling in the winter. And this trail goes across the entire country. And Canada's a big country. So some of it's paved, some of it's like our rails to trails is, but it's all maintained, and basically you could ride 2,000 miles across almost 13,000 miles rather across the country over an entire summer if you could go that long and not have to be on our same road as a car. They're calling it its very own car-free highway.
That's amazing.
It is.
What a very progressive thing for Canada to do.
Jennifer,
just so on top of it.
There's something on the East Coast, but they were running into blocks that they were putting pieces together that there was going to be a trail from Maine to Florida, right? Didn't we have them on
the
show?
The Appalachian Trail.
Well, no, this was a different one. This was a different one for bikers.
I think it was a different group.
Yeah. And it was made for horseback riders and bikers and things, but they were putting all the pieces together and they were having to buy land and everything. I forget what it's called. One of the listeners will know. But they were working on that for the East Coast as well. That's very cool. Congratulations to Canada. Makes me want to go up there and see it.
Lucky enough, those horseback riders can use it for at least 3 months a year when it's not snow covered.
That's right. That's right. But then the snowmobilers and the snow skiers get use of it too. Construction began in 1992 and scheduled to be completed in 2017 for their 150th anniversary. So they say 87% of the trail is already complete and it connects most of the major cities in Canada. So there you go. Good job on them.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Good job.
If you search for it, there's an interactive map for it. It's called the Great Trail. Just search for the Great Trail, and there's an interactive map that covers the whole thing, all the bridges and everything that they had to do to accomplish this. Very cool.
I was going to start singing a song called
Canada?
Blame Canada. No, Blame Canada, but I wasn't sure if you would know that one.
I don't know that one.
It's a South Park song. Google it. Look it up. Blame Canada. Sorry.
That's the thing. You can't really blame Canada for anything.
That's what,
you know?
Yeah. Except for you can if, well, I don't need to get into the whole plot on South Park, but it's a very funny song.
I stopped watching South Park about 5 years ago when they started getting really gross in some of the shows. I could handle a little gross, but then it started getting really gross. And
well, you know what they would say? Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
Jennifer, what's happening on today's show?
Coming up on today's Wacky Wednesday edition, we are going to strip away the extras and learn about stark naked bits. Uh-oh. And then mid-show, the Horse Health Report features Dr. Tanya Cubitt, and she's going to talk about meal size. What is it, and why should we care? And then galloping happily across the finish line, listener Fiona Atkins is going to stop by for a new pony highlight. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. And it is time for Daily Whinnies. So your Daily Whinny, my Daily Whinny today goes out to our neighbors, Jana and Sal, who took care of all our animals, our horses and our doggy. They're also our landlords, and they're so good to us. And the nice part about having terrific landlords who are also your neighbors is when we came home, we had like new shower fixtures. He had like fixed up a whole bunch of stuff around the house while we were gone that we weren't expecting. So that's the best kind of landlords to have and the best neighbors to have. So we really appreciate them.
Or he was going through your stuff.
So that was, we don't have much to go through, so I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, I mean, they're the best landlords we've ever had. And anybody that's rented knows how important that is. Because if your landlords suck, your life is miserable. But they are the best.
My mom is in a lawsuit with her former landlord, so I definitely appreciate what you're saying. It's so nice to hear somebody say something nice.
Oh, no, they've been great. I'm hoping that we get to stay here forever because it's a perfect location, perfect spot. And it's just lovely to be here. So your turn.
Well, I don't feel like we've gotten to talk about her very much for some reason. She's kind of been in and out of our consciousness because her name is Songbird. And I just want you guys to be made aware of this filly if you are not already. Songbird did not run in the, she's a three-year-old filly. Let me back up a little bit. A three-year-old filly who is crushing everybody and dominating everybody. And she won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Race last year, but she did not get to run in the Kentucky Oaks because she had a really bad fever. But she's racing this weekend at Parks Racing Track, and she has won 10 in a row, 10 straight.
Really?
Okay. So and they're all grade one state. I mean, they're like amazing races, huge races. So she's running against the horse, Catherine Sophia, who won the Kentucky Oaks. And this is going to happen this weekend. So she's shipped everywhere. She's won out of Keeneland and Del Mar and Santa Anita and Saratoga. So she's running at Parks this weekend. And so she's trying to make it 11-0. And I just wanted to make sure we put her on everybody's radar if you haven't already, because this filly is just girl power.
Breeders' Cup this year?
She is slated. They're hoping to run her in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, which is the three-year-old filly's race.
So she's too old now to make the Kentucky Derby next year.
Correct. Okay. Correct. She was the favorite for the Kentucky Oaks this year, but she got a really bad fever and the owners were like, let's just pull out. Let's get her fixed. Let's get her happy. And so they've really done a great job by her and they've taken really amazing care of her. They haven't pushed her. And so now she's slated to go and she's 10-0. So this weekend we'll have to catch up with her and see how she does. Very Songbird, cool. Though, if you don't know who she is, you need to know.
Boy, she's been off our radar. That's cool to know. I mean, she's halfway to Secretariat, right? Or not halfway to Zenyatta. I mean, yeah.
She was the Eclipse Award winner last year. So, I mean, she's definitely been up there, but I just haven't talked about her much and we haven't talked about her much on the show. So I just wanted to let you know she's running this weekend. Songbird.
Who owns her? Do you know?
Jerry Holland Dorfer is the trainer. Let me see here. She is owned. You can't just throw random questions at me when
sorry,
I'm not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Just kidding.
It's too early in the morning for random questions. Is it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who owns her. You're right. It doesn't really say in this article. They always just talk
to Rick Porter of Fox Hall Farms and Jerry Hollander for the trainer. So Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms owns her.
Rick Porter's doing okay now this year. The budget just got better.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, now, I did have, before we get to our first guest, I had a couple of people say, why hasn't Jamie given us the lucky update? Because while we were, well, we just ran out of time on Monday. There was no intentional reason for not giving the lucky update. Let's remind everybody that Jamie rescued this doggy named Lucky, Basset Hound named Lucky, what, a year ago? Exactly a year ago now.
As of Monday, I think it was our 1 year anniversary on Monday. God, I love Facebook memories. It always lets me know. Like,
it reminds you. Yeah. It's like a memory. So a lot of our listeners, you had a fundraising campaign because this dog needed thousands of dollars in surgeries and just went back for another one on Friday. So what happened?
He did, yeah. Well, I adopted him, and they deemed him unadoptable because he had ear infections and health problems. And I was like, I can handle that. And then, like, I get him to doctor, and let's just say that he needed a lot more than just ear problems. He had massive tooth problems and dental tumors in his mouth and all sorts of mess. And we've had to go to specialists and everything for the ear infections. And anyway, he had 10 teeth pulled initially in his first dental surgery, and he just started stinking, you know, like that doggy stank. And I thought it was his ears again. We treated his ears again, and the stank did not go away, and we realized that it's his teeth. And they're thinking that probably all of this stems from an allergic autoimmune response or something that he has going. But, you know, we're just going to treat the symptoms. And so he went back in for a dental surgery last week, and she did not know what teeth were going to be good and bad until she got in there. Well, poor Lucky, that's his little heart. He has his front teeth left. That's it. And they
none
even
of the
pulled
back
the
ones?
Cane. All the back ones are gone. Everything is gone. I think they pulled another 12 to 15 teeth. And they even had to pull canines on one side. So bless his little heart, he gets hot. His little tongue hangs out to the side of his mouth.
Damn, that's a sore mouth. Ugh.
Oh, poor little guy. He was really down for about,
I almost said, sorry. No kidding.
You almost said the S word. He was really hurting. He's been on pain meds and antibiotics and everything. So he is actually, I think in the last 2 days, has really kind of turned the corner on how he's feeling. So
are we on a liquid diet at this point? What is he eating?
Well, I gave him, we were getting some canned food, and aside from doing a skin test on him to see what he's not allergic to, the canned food, even though I bought a high quality one, was just making him itch. So now we're back on his regular grain-free diet, and I have to just soak it. I'm soaking it for like half an hour. It's like doing beet pulp. You know, I do all the beet pulp for all the horses that come in.
It's just mush.
Yeah. So when he's eating the same food, and then I didn't have to change it up and continue to figure out. And he is just so difficult, but he is so sweet and so loving. And
that face, anyway, he's the most photogenic dog ever.
Oh, he is just awesome. And he's decided that he can bark again. So Chad's like, I see Lucky's feeling better. Like, yep, he's feeling better. He's like, that's really good news, hun. Really.
Couldn't they have done something with those vocal cords while they were in there?
So loud. He just sings the song of his people, Glenn. That's what I tell Chad. He's singing the song of his people. He's talking to his grandparents and great-grandparents. So, yeah. Generations can hear him.
And Basset Hounds have that unique, I don't know, cross between a bark and a howl. It's different.
It comes from the very tip of his
tongue. Is it called a roux?
I don't know what it is, but it's loud and it's, I mean, it's just, it's loud. He's got volume for a little short little thing. But I wanted to also tell you that when I adopted him, and I was looking at the pictures the other day, he was 27 or 28 pounds when I took him to the vet. I want you to guess how much he weighs now.
Well, you feed like I do and less like Jennifer does. So I'm guessing close to 40.
Keep going.
Okay, close to 50.
That's
is he 50 pounds? He stands like 10 inches off the ground.
He is 53.
What, do you put a roller skate under his belly? What?
He is 53 pounds.
Oh, my God. He's heavier than Glory, our gray hair.
He has doubled. He's heavier than my three-year-old, by far. He has doubled.
Apparently,
inside.
That teeth haven't been too much of an issue.
I know. I keep waiting for, like, the infection to make him lose it. And then I realized, too, that, you know, about 2 weeks before, we had to book the surgery. And, oh, my gosh, at 50 pounds, over 50 pounds, the cost goes up for sedating. It's like every 10 pounds, it goes tick, tick. Oh, and so I'm like, please, Lucky, lose 2 pounds. He was 52 pounds. Lose 2 pounds. And going away, I mean, he's 52.
Jennifer, you can't give me crap anymore about Glory. You have to start turning that crap toward Jamie about overfeeding her dog.
He's not fat, though. He just looks healthy. He looks healthy.
That's what everybody with a fat pony says. Oh, that's what I say when Scooter's fat.
By the way,
Scooter looks really good right now. But
he's shiny and healthy, okay?
You have a Thelwell dog.
Thelwell Border Basset Hound.
Basset Hound.
Well, he's really cute, though. And by the way, he can now kiss you without you about dying of his bad breath. Because he's a licker. He's a licker.
And thank you to all the many, many, many listeners who contributed to Lucky's health.
Thank you guys very much. The first half wouldn't have been possible. That money, by the way, is long gone. But he's totally worth it. Chad's like, and then it was terrible because they quoted me like $250. And then when I got there, it was like $480 when I picked him up.
It's always double the amount.
Yeah. And I had told Chad $250, and he's out of town. He comes back, and I'm like thinking I'm all slick. And he found the little receipt. And he's like, how much was this? And I was like, ugh. I hate to be that wife that like hides vet bills from her but I have to with this dog. I have to.
Did I ever tell you my brother got an appendectomy here, emergency appendectomy a while ago, was in the hospital for 4 days? Did I tell you what the total vet bills? Did I tell you what the total hospital bills were at this point? Almost $100,000.
What?
For an appendectomy.
I could have taken it out for 20.
All right, let's go to our first guest.
All right. Fantastic. I'm excited to talk to this person. Her name is Tracy Meisenbach, and she is with Stark Naked Bits. Good morning, Tracy.
Oops. Tracy, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Tracy?
Did we lose Tracy?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Good morning. Oh.
Good morning.
Tracy, are you on a speakerphone or anything?
No.
Okay, we have a delay. That's why
I'm on a regular phone.
Okay, all right, cool.
Oh, no, I had the mute button on in case my cats were talking in the background.
Okay, no, we don't mind cats talking.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We welcome background animal noises. It makes us feel more normal. Yeah, we have a delay. Are you there, Tracy?
Okay. Yeah, I'm good to go.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about yourself and what a Stark Naked Bit is.
Well, I've been training, handling, breeding, showing horses since the 70s, which really dates myself. And I am a bit clinician, carded judge. And so I've studied bits all my life. And in the past year or so, I run a huge forum on Facebook, so over 6,000 members, about bidding horses. And, of course, the discussions always turn to, you know, what is more gentle, what is cruel, you know, what's a horrible bit, what's a good bit. And there's just so many answers of varying degrees to that question when you get into the study of bits. We decided in doing an experiment about what's about the least amount of bit that you could use on a horse and still have a viable bit in their mouth. And we looked at, there's a leather version of our bit. It's a simple jaw bit. It's basically a flat snaffle that has a flat mouthpiece with a jaw strap that goes around the chin, and that's what holds the bit on, and then a ring on each side, like an O-ring snaffle. And it's basically an ancient form of bridling. I mean, it's one of the first bits with a leather loop around the jaw. But this one has been upgraded to modern times in that we use biofame. And so it doesn't rot. It doesn't mildew, no mold on it. Basically lasts forever. And the biofame is rated to the safety that's the equivalent of children's toys, like baby toys. So, you know, if they stick something in their mouth, they're not going to get sick if they chew on it or something. And we checked into that very, very carefully. It's hospital grade biofame because we didn't want to use something that the horse could get sick on. So we had it made up by an Amish saddle maker, and it just kind of started out as a joke, and we put it on my daughter's stallion, who was a horse that I had bred and raised and had sold him, and we ended up buying him back, and he had been trained with a correction port bit, which is an extremely high point, high port double jointed bit, and he got in the, what we dubbed the stark naked bit, and he just relaxed. He was a different horse. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're really on to something here. And so we started using it. We've been using them for over a year and a half now. And we've rehabbed two horses into them from that were just really heavy on the forehand, lugging down into your hands the whole time. And now they're light and soft. Both of them showed in a Western dressage show this past weekend and scored, you know, 65, 68, and did very well. And then we just started kind of promoting them, and now I run a bit business. So that's basically how we started.
So this bit, from what I looked at, it looks almost like a very high-tech version of a war bridle from like the Native American culture. Is that because I've seen people that are riding in these with pictures without having any headstall or anything?
Yes. It's actually an old version. Like I said, these leather jaw bits have been around a long time. It's different than a war bridle in that it does not ever tighten. Once you put it on and adjust it to fit your horse, and it's held on basically by the horse's anatomy of his chin and the shape of his jaw, the horse decides whether he wants to put his tongue over or under it. And I saw a lot of comments on the picture of the gal that was jumping the horse in the jaw bit. And they were talking about, you know, the war bridles versus the Maroff bits and things like that. Now, a war bridle, which is the rawhide or rope, those will tighten. If you spread the rings apart where the reins are, all that holds that on is a slide. And so they'll tighten, and if you do direct reining, they'll actually rotate within the mouth. This, the stark naked bit, is a jaw bit, but it acts more like an O-ring snaffle. And once it's adjusted, it does not tighten again, unless you physically get over there and pull the buckle and tighten it a hole. So okay, it remains a constant. And the steering on it is more like a direct rein O-ring snaffle because you've got a ring on each side of the mouth. You don't have the two rings coming from a central point under the chin. So your direct reining cues are much clearer. And as you pull, if you pull on the left rein, you're not pulling the bit to rotate through the mouth as happens with the war bridle. And we had looked at the war bridle design too, with the thought of perhaps creating a biofane one of those. And our view on the biofane, again, like I said, is longevity, being able to disinfect it, keep it clean, things like that, because leather, after it's been in a horse's mouth for a while, gets just nasty. It doesn't matter what oil you put on it. Eventually, the wetting, the drying, they get pretty gross.
It breaks down, yeah.
So we decided that
For those who just want to jump in and see what she's talking about, the website is starknakedbits.com. I just wanted to, because explaining it and seeing it can kind of be two different things. And I was noticing the rings on the side. Do you have like a full cheek option, or is it only the circles? And do those come into play at all when you're receiving?
Yeah, right now we're doing just the O-rings. There's absolutely no need for a full cheek. This bit stays right where you put it in the mouth. I mean, you're not pulling it through the mouth. Okay. It's very, very quiet. You can use it with or without a head stall. We recommend if you're starting a green horse to use it with the head stall until, you know, they get used to carrying the bit. We are working on a D-ring version of the bit, but got a couple kinks there because the D's tend to make the mouth tweak float a little bit down to the bottom of the D, and we want it to stay central in the D. But right now, and we come in different widths. We have the half inch and the three quarter inch, which is very, very, the three quarter inch is probably our most popular width. And then we have a one inch version for draft horses. And we have used these on everything, minis, mules, stock horses, barrel horses, jumpers, draft horses. People have used them for driving. Okay. And I'm just floored by it.
Yeah. Well, when it looks like when you put it through, you kind of buckle it around the lower jaw. Do the horses at first, when they first feel them, kind of freak out because it's a thing around their lower jaw, or is it they don't care?
Well, if you have a noseband, they would have that same feeling, wouldn't they? Well, not quite as
no,
low.
No, this
though.
Is around the lower jaw.
Lower jaw, yeah.
Yeah, it's around the lower jaw. If you do it correctly, they go. We recommend that you, the first time you put it on, you use a head stall. And then you use your chin strap and then gradually tighten it to where you can put one finger width all the way around.
Gotcha.
And that's as tight as it should ever go. It is not binding down on it. And okay. The horse can pick his tongue up out of it and poke it back under it. Our oldest gelding, there's a lot of pictures of him out, Stonewall Rascal. He wears his every year at Briarfest and just riding around the farm, too. But we took him out at Briarfest walking amongst the crowds, and he had just his Stark Naked bit on. And I'm going to tell you, people freaked out. And the biggest problem with people freaking out is when they see your horse and they want to examine him, the first thing they do is grab your rein. And we're like, please don't pull the bit out of his mouth. You know, this would end up badly.
That was going to be my question is, you know, the bit checker at most shows is a volunteer. And when they see this, do they have to call somebody over every time?
Is this legal on sports,
yeah.
Really?
Yes and no. It is absolutely legal in speed events. You can go barrel race in this thing all weekend long. You can jump in it. One of the most famous versions of it was Susie Hutchinson riding Samson Woodstock in a leather jaw bit. And there are several that are competing now, like the gal that you guys commented on with the jaw bit. So USEF will allow them as long as, like every bit, they don't create blood or anything.
I can see somebody coming up in a dressage ring and them having a cow.
Has it been accepted into the English world yet, or is this still kind of a new thing for that?
Well, in the jumping, of course, they don't care. Jumping and cross country, they're like, whatever. If this horse likes it and gets them over the fence, you can do whatever you want. We have had people comment to us that they have used it in hunter under saddle with a head stall. And that being the main requirement is that most of rules are written in an antiquated form that require the horse to have a head stall.
Yeah.
And so we have talked with a couple.
I would give this bit a try, Glenn, for sure. Because it does look super gentle and really nice. You know, as long as you kind of take your time with it. And it's like any bit that's soft. You just have to teach your horse how to feel it and accept it and be a part of it, I would give it a try.
And, you know, the reason it looks funky in the pictures is because all the pictures that you're showing on your website, which is starknakedbits.com, don't have the head stall. So it's basically the two rings and the piece that goes through the mouth, and that's it. So it looks funky, right? But if you put a head stall on it, you probably wouldn't even give it a second glance from a distance.
You don't. You don't. If you put, like, we make a Havana brown one, and if you put that on a brown leather English headstall, we did have a gal that showed in her regional finals for AQHA with it, and the bit guy passed it. He said it met the criteria. So, and then she posted photos to the page, and we were like, well, this is really cool. And I have another client. He bought one just kind of as a gimmick, and then he buys them for every horse that he sells. So he buys them like six at a time now. And he does cowboy mounted shooting. And I was thought, well, you got to be pretty brave if you're going to run in any snaffle and do cowboy mounted shooting. But the fact you're in a flat leather snaffle, well, you are something else, dude. You know, and then I've had people contact me that say they saw the bit out. Somebody was riding on the trail with it in literally the middle of nowhere. And they noticed the horse had no bridle on. They went over to check. And then the next thing you know, they're contacting me on the page and saying they want one too. We've sent them all over the world. We've sent them to South Africa, Croatia, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Mexico, Italy. And it's just been a surprise business. I really started doing it on a lark to prove a point that we could. And now after using them and seeing how the horses, once the horse understands that you're no longer going to hurt him, that you're going to communicate versus compel, their whole attitude changes. The oldest gelding that we have it on, Stonewall Rascal, had been trained very heavy contact, almost roll cur. You know, he had just been pulled into these frames, and you're really not going to do that with this bit. You just can't. And now he rides in it, and his frame has softened up. There's a picture on our website of him at Briarfest trotting down the rail, and he's just perfectly rounded, reins lightly draped, just the most beautiful picture. And if you compare that to him 2 years ago when we bought him, you know, it's just a different horse. And I like that. I like the fact that it's a step down. And we do not make just outlandish promises with this bit. It's not a magic bit. It's not going to solve all your problems. If you have a horse that's a violent runaway, it's not going to fix that. And we tell people that because I want, you know, safety is a priority with us.
Well, but you have a violent runaway. You need to go back to the starting board. You know, I mean, there's something else going on there. So it's not even about the bit. So listen, we've run out of time, but I want everybody to know it's Stark Naked Bits.
But I can't figure out how to buy it on Stark Naked Bits. I don't see a shop. How do you buy it?
Oh, you just message the page. If send a message to the page, and we set up the invoicing through the page. And we take PayPal or checks, and we will mail it anywhere in the world.
Okay.
Cool. Well, starknakedbits.com. You can also find them on Facebook. Just search Stark Naked Bits, and it's STARK. It's how it says it. And it, I thought it was going to be a little naughty at first when then I looked at it, and I was like, oh, it's a bit. You never know on this show.
You know, yeah, that's true. And I'm going to tell you this.
The riders aren't stark naked. The bit is. That's the difference. Yes. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. But be very careful if you search it on Google. Do Stark Naked Bit horse or Stark Naked Bit equine? Because even I looked it up. It's a play on my daughter's last name, which is Stark, and then of course the horse is semi naked. And we thought it was really cute. And then only later, after I did a Google search, just to see how, you know, much word was getting out, I was horrified. Yeah. Legitimately horrified.
That happens a lot.
That's so,
warning, don't let your children search for that.
Yeah. Don't Google any of Uncle Jimmy's products or Stark Naked Bits.
That's
okay,
right.
People, don't do it. Tracy, thank you so very much. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. And if you have any further questions later on, feel free to contact us.
All right. Stark Naked Bits. Thanks, Tracy. That's something, you know, I was wondering, I was looking at this and thinking about scooter and driving, actually, and it would be interesting to try. We didn't ask her how much they cost. Can't be that much. It's two rings and a strap.
I think they're $30 is what I saw online.
Okay, yeah. I wish she had a shopping cart on there because I was looking for that, but I couldn't find it. That's interesting. Well, Denise found that one. Good job, Denise. I hadn't seen those before, and it does look funky without the head stall, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you see the pictures.
But, yeah, they would throw you out of a dressage test faster.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking a little more tolerant for the other disciplines, but
yeah,
you'd have to have a head stall. And I'm not even sure. I think that the little guy at the gate would have a conniption and not know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to need Dee Dee over here. Yeah. Somebody.
Hey, you know, last week was International, last Saturday was International Helmet Awareness Day. We talked a little bit about that, and a lot of our listeners bought helmets, and I know a lot of our listeners bought Ovation helmets. And you were saying this morning, we were chatting about it, you were saying this morning that practically everybody that is riding at your barn now has Ovation helmets.
My final holdout, the little girl that she had this beautiful pink helmet, and she didn't want to let it go, but it was just ill-fitting and terrible, and she finally bought an Ovation, and she got one of the blingy Ovations, so she's happy. I think that was my last holdout.
So they're all Ovation now? You have an all Ovation barn?
Well, because they look good. You know, they see each other wearing these helmets. They're low profile. They're not big, giant salad bowls on their head. They're very form fitted, and because of the little dial, you can fit it even to yourself. So like Lucas's is an extra small. This 10-year-old got the small medium. I got a big head. I wear the medium large.
You do?
I do.
You're like 5'2".
I have a big brain, Glenn.
Oh, okay, that's
big
it.
Brain.
Yeah. I forgot. Sorry.
So there's plenty of like the main sizes, and then you just tweak it with that little dial. So anyway, there you go. Well, by the way, I declared every day as International Helmet Hair Day.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You're welcome. And you know what? We talk a lot about the helmets at Ovation Products, but they have a ton of other products too. And winter is coming quickly in some parts of the country. And I know
Winter is coming.
That's right. We were at 30 degrees a couple of the mornings when we got up in the mountains of Colorado. We talked to Julie Goodnight yesterday on the CHA episode, and she already had snow in the mountains of Colorado. So winter is coming, and one of the things you're going to want to worry about is your feet if you live in the snowy, cold climates, and they have a couple of great tall boots. Of course, they have all our country boots. Ovation country boots is what I use. I wear those. Every day it's raining here in Florida, I wear them, and they're still waterproof, don't have any trouble. But they also have the Ovation Arctic Blizzard boot, which is like super warm and comfy. They have the Ovation Blizzard winter boots, and they also have an Ovation Blizzard tall rider boot that looks more like a schooling boot would for dressage, and that one is winter as well. So if you're looking for tall or even short boots, they have a couple of short boot options for the winter. If you're looking for boots this winter and yours are just plain worn out, they're not waterproof anymore, they got great big holes in them, and the duct tape isn't holding anymore, then hop on over to OvationRiding.com is where you can find information on it. And they're really cheap. The Ovation Arctic Blizzard boot, that's kind of a semi-tall boot, halfway up. I don't know what they call that. Calf length?
It's like a three-quarter sleeve, but yeah, in boot form.
In boot form. It's $74 retail, and you can find it even cheaper than that if you go to some of our other retail sponsors, or you can find all of their dealers online. There's a big Where to Buy button right there. So they're really inexpensive, great boots. Check them out at OvationRiding.com, as well as all the other winter stuff they have, gloves, breeches, chaps. All the stuff they have for winter is there as well.
Man, you got me thinking of Game of Thrones. I had to Google when the next season is, but I still haven't seen season 7, so I'm good. I've got a little bit of time.
You got a little time. I can't believe you made it up that far on Game of Thrones.
I know. Well, I close my eyes a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say. Because you're like me when it comes to that gory, gross stuff. And there's a lot gory, gross stuff there.
What's the new move? The new Netflix thing with all the kids, and it's really scary.
I wanted to give that a try. Have you started it?
I did. I watched the first episode.
What's it? Something.
You'll Google it, I'll talk about it. But I saw the first episode of it, and oh my God, I was terrified. I was terrified, and I mean, granted. It does not take much. It's like an aggressive X-Files episode, you know? And I watched all the X-Files, and this made me kind of think about the X-Files again. And I used to be pretty paranoid because I used to watch that show so much. So it really scared me. The second one, oh my God, Winona Ryder scene when she has to go back in the house. Oh, I was like, I buried my... And so I've decided that I cannot watch it alone when Chad's not home. So now we have made an agreement that we will only watch it together because I can't handle it alone. Because the first night after I watched the first episode, I didn't go to sleep for like 3 hours. I was like terrified. Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, that's what it is. And also, we have an announcement here that the head writer for the TV show Heartland, which is really popular with a lot of our listeners, it's also on Netflix. That's what reminded me of that. Yep, that's okay. Netflix as well. Well, you and I have to watch some episodes because the head writer is going to be on with us next Friday.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, I got to get caught up then. Heartland. It's a Canadian drama series. The sprawling family saga takes place right out on the range, where an unfortunate tragedy has glued a family together to pull them through life's thick and thin moments.
And we have some auditors that absolutely love this show. So,
well, the story is that you follow young Amy Fleming as she slowly discovers she possesses her now deceased mother's ability to aid injured horses and her relationships with those who are trying to get by one day at a time. How'd I do?
You did great. That was terrific. You should do voiceovers or radio or something. That would be
good. It's like I should.
But that's going to be, I think, next week. We're having the head writer on. So you and I have to get caught up before next week.
Okay. Right? I'll watch. There's I'll watch. I keep forgetting about it, and I keep starting these new shows. So I just did, the voice is back on, so... My life is pretty busy these days.
Yeah. We just finished America's Got Talent. What did you think of that?
Oh, my gosh. I really wanted the two crazy magician people to win, but that little girl, I could have...
The clairvoyants kind of had them.
I voted for them. Yeah. But
I would go see their show in Vegas.
That's what I was hoping. I was like, oh, if they get a show in Vegas, I will go. Yeah. I will go to that show. The clairvoyants were amazing. The little girl's cute and sweet and... Congratulations. I mean, you can't vote against her. She's adorable.
I don't like opera, but that opera girl, oh my God.
She was really good.
She's 12 years old. She could blast.
Can you guys tell Glenn and I haven't talked in a while?
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's get to the next segment. We have Horse Health coming up. We have Dr. Cubitt. Jennifer recorded this earlier talking about meal size. And then we're going to be back. We're going to talk to Fiona from England. Fiona's one of our listeners, and she has a new pony highlight. And, you know, we say new pony loosely, but in this case, it's a new pony. So we're going to talk about that after we hear about meal size from Dr. Cubitt.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products. And I'm so happy to welcome back Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performance Horse Nutrition. How are you doing today, Dr. Cubitt?
I am great, Jennifer. Again, thanks for having me back.
It's so fun when you stop by because I learn so much and I feel smarter and my horses are better for it.
Well, I'm glad that's the case.
Yeah. And well, this past couple of tips have been inspired by listener questions. So listeners, keep sending those questions our way because it inspires us to ask good things. You hear all the time, we should be feeding our horses multiple small meals every day when it comes to their concentrates or their feed. Well, small is a relative term. So maybe you could help us out. What exactly is a small meal?
This is a fantastic question to whichever listener wrote this in. This is a really great question, because I always like to answer this question by going back to the very beginning. Let's go back to what is the horse designed to do, and then we'll look quickly at the digestive system so that you understand why it's physically a bad idea to feed large quantities of concentrates in a single meal. So let's think about, what is the horse designed to do? What does he do if you just throw him out in the field and let him have at it? He constantly grazes small amounts continuously throughout the day. They'll graze 17 hours a day, and they're constantly just chewing small bits of forage and swallowing it, and it's trickling through their digestive system. Some people call them trickle feeders for that very reason, because the digestive system is designed and has the capacity to take small amounts of food, digest it, break it down, and the body absorbs it continually. It's not designed, if we said the same about a dog or a cat, or say a lion in the wild, a lion is not continuously just nibbling on rabbits in the wild. He hunts something, kills it, eats it. Sometimes they throw it up and eat on it a little bit throughout the day, but really they gorge on food, and then that has to sustain them. Their digestive system has to have the capacity to be able to digest, absorb, and utilize large quantities very infrequently. The horse is not like that, though. He's got to be small amounts frequently. So that should start to answer the question. Small amounts frequently. That's why we say that. I don't like to feed any more than 3 to 5 pounds of concentrate in a single meal. Now, let's not take forage into that, because the hay, I would prefer that they had, if they're in stalls, hay ad lib, let them eat as much as they want, because they're just constantly nibbling away on that. But when it comes to the feed that you put in the bucket, the concentrated grains, 3 to 5 pounds is the max. Let's quickly go through the digestive system, and now we'll understand physically why it just doesn't work to feed larger quantities than that, or where you run into problems, and really all you're doing is creating expensive manure. The teeth are the first part of the digestive system. They're going to chew sideways, mix with saliva so that you can swallow the food down the esophagus, which is a 4-foot-long pipe with muscles all the way down that's going to push the food down into the stomach. Now, the stomach is where we start to get breakdown. We've got acids here that are going to break down the food. We get some digestion. But if you look at the stomach in a picture in relation to the small intestine and the large intestine, it's very small. If we looked at a lion's stomach, it's very large. So we have this really small stomach, which really dictates meal size. Because if you feed large quantities, more than, say, 5 pounds, it's just going to flow through that stomach very quickly, go into the small intestine. It's not going to have had enough time in the stomach getting broken down by the acid. Then we get partially undigested foods going into the small intestine. So the stomach is really small. That is our first indicator that we need to feed small meals. Then we go to the small intestine. The small intestine, it's like a big long garden hose. There are enzymes here that break down food. Depending on the digestibility of the food, can take anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes to 3 to 4 hours for the food to pass through the small intestine. But it also has one of the main enzymes is called amylase, and it breaks down starch. And there's only a certain amount of it. And so if we feed the horse too much cereal grain, it's too high in starch, then that amylase is going to get used up, and then we're going to have undigested starch just flowing through the large intestine. Or if we feed grains that haven't been processed, say you're feeding whole corn or whole barley that hasn't been broken down, then that amylase isn't able to break it down, and it's going to flow through into the large intestine undigested. So again, another reason why we say small meals, because we've got a small stomach, we've got only a certain amount of these enzymes. Then we go into the large intestine. Now, most of the time of digestion is spent here in the large intestine, up to 40 hours, depending on the digestibility. And this is where primarily most of your fiber is digested. So that also gives us a clue that the horse is supposed to eat more fiber than anything else. So give him ad lib fiber. Let him eat as much as he wants. Within reason, of course. If it's a fat horse, then you've got a limit. But I don't like to feed any more than 3 to 5 pounds of your cereal grain in a single meal. Now, if you're feeding much larger quantities than that, lactating broodmare, you're trying to keep weight on her, racehorse that's feeding, you know, has to eat 18 pounds of grain, for example, to maintain body weight and exercise level, that's where management becomes extremely critical. You have to be breaking that up into 4 or 5 meals a day so that you can simulate that trickle feeding, that constant, continuous amount of small amount of nutrients constantly trickling through the digestive system. So it was a really long answer for a short answer, which is 3 to 5 pounds. But mm-hmm. I want to give your listeners the reason why. I think if you can understand why, you're better, you're going to remember it more than if I just say 3 to 5 pounds.
3 to 5. And what is 3 to 5 pounds? So this, of course, every time you give me an answer to a question, I have more questions.
Sure.
So if my horse gets a 3-quart scoop of feed in his meal, which with a sweet feed is going to be somewhere to the tune of 2.5 to 3 pounds.
Sure.
If I give him that scoop of feed immediately after he has consumed 10 pounds of hay as fast as he can because he hasn't had hay in 6 hours, is that going to make a difference to how quickly it moves through the digestive tract? Because way back in the day in Pony Club, we were always taught that we were supposed to give the horses hay first because then he would eat his grain slower. Well, it's been my experience. My horse eats his grain just as fast.
It really depends on the horse. I do still recommend that people feed hay first to slow the horse's rate of consumption. Now, there's been a lot of studies done on whether feeding hay first changes the rate of passage of that grain through the digestive system, and it really doesn't. But I still recommend feeding hay first because it does, in most cases, slow the rate of consumption down. Not the rate of passage, but the rate of consumption. So, you know, you try lots of different things. If you have a horse that eats really quickly, if feeding hay first doesn't work, you can put some bricks in his feed tub or wet the feed.
Things like that, yeah. When they eat their hay, they're producing saliva.
Yes.
And then when that goes down, that helps to buffer excess acid in the stomach. Is that beneficial to the digestion of the grain?
I would say that's neutral. The grain itself, when it gets into the stomach, having just food in there in general is going to dilute that stomach acid. And it's designed that way. It's designed to have fiber and a bit of cereal, a bit of seed head, really, if you looked in the wild. So I would say that that would be neutral. A neutral effect.
A neutral effect. So
not one way or the other.
That age old if, give hay before grain still stands.
Yes.
All right. Size of the meal really doesn't need to be more than 3 to 5 pounds. Otherwise, you need to split it up.
Yep.
All right. Now, I've heard growing up, we used to, you know, we feed sweet feed. And one of the sales pitches that the feed dealer used to give us to get us to buy the more expensive pelleted feed, because back in the day when pelleted feeds first came out, they did cost more, was, well, look, your horse's manure has oats in it. He's not digesting those oats. You need to feed him pelleted feed. Is that really an oat that's not been digested, or is it just an empty shell that looks like an oat?
It's an empty shell. Most times it's an empty shell that looks like an oat. Unless you were feeding 7, 8, 9 pounds of oats in a single meal, then yeah, quite likely it could be a whole oat because, as I said, there's not enough of those enzymes to break down those oats. So the oats, that seed coat is very fibrous. It has a lot of non-digestible fiber in it. So always you're going to see that there. But whether it's got the meat still in there or not, it just depends on usually the quantity of oats you were feeding in the first place.
Well, there you go. See, that was a bonus. That was a bonus tip, everybody.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for answering that perplexing question. And for folks whose question marks are still floating above their heads and have more nutrition questions, where can they find Dr. Cubitt?
They can find me at performancehorsenutrition.com. If you go on our website, you can find our phone number, our email, and you can call us or email us questions anytime.
Thank you. Thank you to Jennifer and to Dr. Cubitt for doing that for us today. We really appreciate it. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm here with Jamie and Jen, and we are on a Wednesday, which means Friday. Really Bad Ads is back. It's been a while, and I notice a couple of you have sent in some audio Really Bad Ads. That's right. You're going to get your name twice in the pool to win the prize for the month if you do your own audio version of the Really Bad Ad and send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Or just send the regular ad to that same address. Get it in for Friday. This month, we have a Glenn's Box of Crap. That's right. I collected some crap from Ada and from Wisa. So we're going to put all that together and ship it out to you. And I know a lot of you on your bucket list is to win a box of crap from my closet. So, which is much better than the box of crap from Jamie's closet.
Yeah, where my kitty litter box was. Hey, Glenn, we've got to get the audio for this. Frederick the Great, the handsome, most handsome horse in the world.
Yes, 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 yes. Who we had on last week or week before.
Yeah, yeah, he was just on Stephen Colbert's show.
I saw that. So, it was very funny. What's Frederick's mom's name that we had on the show? She was so nervous. I felt so bad for her because she was so nervous. But he did a great job. It was a very funny segment.
He's funny with horses. I wonder if he's a horse.
He's always done horses, hasn't he? He did that dressage thing and a couple other things along the years. He and Ellen. Ellen always does funny horse stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I haven't watched it yet, but I definitely want to. And we'll have to maybe play it on the show on Friday.
You need to watch it. It's more visual than it is because it's Frederick.
Yes, that's true.
Speaking of which, when you're talking about that, Frederick was in New York, and the reason Frederick's there is today starts the Rolex Central Park Horse Show. So that's starting today. We're going to get a live report from there on Friday. But Charlotte Desjardins was there for the opening press conference, and they have flown Vallegro over, and she will be doing a demonstration on Saturday night. And I think Vallegro has only been in the United States one other time. So they're going to be doing a demonstration on Saturday night, and it is sold out. You cannot get a ticket for most of the nights of this horse show, but they have a whole bunch of things going on. They have Arabian classes, they have jumpers, they have dressage, they just have a whole bunch of different demonstrations. This really has become an event in New York. As you can see, I mean, Frederick the Great is going to be there, and he's going to be doing a demonstration as well, and has made it, of course, to late night TV now. But this will be exciting to see how it goes. I think there is some live coverage of it somewhere. Maybe one of our listeners knows where you can see the live coverage of it, but online. But I one of these years, it would be fun to go up and see that. Central Park is a cool setting for this horse show.
I just love Central Park, period. Throw horses in, it's even better.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get a live report from one of our reporters on Friday morning from Central Park. So that'll be really cool. But so get your Really Bad Ads in, Central Park. Now we're going to go. One of the things we love to do on this show is highlight listeners with new horses. It is the year of the listener here at the Horse Radio Network. Well, somebody got a new horse. One of our listeners named Fiona from England got a new pony. And we're going to hear all about it. But now I have to actually call her, Jamie, on Skype here. So I have to call her live on the air. You might hear ringing because we're calling England.
That's just what we have to do when we're making a trip across around the world.
That's right. Fiona was a guest for our Year of the Listener already on Stable Scoop over the summer.
Oh, she was.
Yeah,
okay.
She was. But she was having a little trouble with her horse, and we're going to find out how that went and why we changed gears. And she had just gotten off work, and we appreciate her doing this.
Hello.
Hello, Fiona. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Good. I love your accent still.
Oh,
by
my
the
gosh.
Way,
she's so cute. I can't stand it.
She is too cute.
Fiona. You haven't seen my pony yet. He's even cuter.
He is cuter. We saw a picture you posted on the auditor page this morning. Jennifer, is it okay if Jennifer posts it on her Horses in the Morning page for everybody to see?
Definitely. I want everyone to see my new pony.
Well, Let's talk first a little bit about your, when we talked to you last on Stable Scoop, you had a horse that you were, well, let's just say it was a little challenging. And now tell us about that horse. And I know that there were hospital visits involved, not for the horse, but for you. And what made you find, because this is important to know.
Wait, just, I just want to hear about the horse first.
Yeah.
Tell me about that horse.
He was an Irish draft crossed with a thoroughbred that I bought as an unbacked four-year-old 3 years ago. And he was challenging. He'd had a few issues. He had a lot of health problems. And turns out that really he wasn't ever destined to be ridden. And in about early June, I had the tough decision to have him put down, which was really awful. But after 3 years, and the poor vet just said, come on, it's got to call it a day now because it's just ridiculous. And I took his advice, and he was a sound vet, so I did trust him.
Yeah.
Well, wow. I'm sorry. That's
yeah. I knew that you had had a lot of issues with this horse of all kinds, and it was very challenging. And now, what made you decide to go the route you did with the new boy? And then we'll talk about the new one.
Well, I'd like to blame Leslie Wiley because she got a pony. So I thought, I'm going to go out and get a pony. But no, we used to breed Highlands years ago when I was a child, when I was a wee little thing. And I just wanted to have a bit of stress-free enjoyment with horses. And I'd had enough of the horse and the broken bones and the challenging behaviour. And I thought, I just want to go back to something that felt really secure and just felt like home. So, yeah, I went out and I bought myself a Highland pony.
Well, you're understating that. You bought yourself a stinking cute gray Highland pony.
They're all stinking cute. You can't find a Highland pony that isn't a farewell pony. They are gorgeous.
I'm not that familiar with the Highland pony, being that we're in America. Tell us a little bit about the breed.
What can I tell you about the breed? They are obviously gorgeous. They're bred for their hardiness, but they have a really kind nature and a very, what they call an even temperament. But they're so versatile. You can ride them, you can drive them. They were initially sort of pack animals for bringing the stags down from the Highlands when they went out on shoots. They're just so versatile, but they're kind of a bit like a Labrador. They kind of bond with their owner for life, and they're just so biddable. It's just, they are heaven to deal with.
They're stocky. Aww. They kind of look like a little draft horse. We're almost halflinger-like would be.
Yes, yeah, and they're that kind of width, definitely.
So
they
what
fit
do you...
well in the shop.
So tell us, what's his name? How old is he? How tall is he? What are you going to do with him? Tell us everything. Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Everything. He is 7 years old. I bought him from Scotland, so I did a big 900-mile round trip to go and get him. He's called Docky, and you have to say it with a nice Scottish accent as well. It has to be Docky. And he is Docky. He's a performance pony, so he does a lot of jumping. So he's actually done a training British eventing, so I'm hoping to event him. That's my
team. That's so cool! I got to tell you, not to take anything from you, but I feel the same way you feel about your pony, about my little Mustang Zeus. I've been having these 15, 16, 17 hand horses that are all, you know, issues. And I get on that little 15 one hand Mustang and I feel like I'm a 12-year-old girl again on a little pony. And I know that feeling that you're talking about, because all of a sudden it's like home and relief and no stress. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is so comfortable to me right now. It's where I need to be in my life as on these little smaller guys. And anyway, so that's so exciting.
And you've got to have fun, haven't you? It's all about fun. I think we forget the fact. I think we take it all a bit too seriously sometimes. And that I think you've got to just look at yourself and think, no, I want to be in this life for as long as possible. I don't really want to be thrown into hospital every 5 minutes because of some unruly huge horse.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had some really nice huge horses, but I just was ready for a smaller one. How tall is this guy?
Well, we're going to keep it quiet amongst just the three of us, obviously, aren't we? He's only 13'2". Yes. Oh, my
God. How big are you? You don't look too big on him, so you must be on the shorter side, too.
I'm not. I'm 5'8".
Oh, wow.
He's very broad.
I guess.
That is so cool.
He's like riding a little couch.
But I don't mind, because I look at William Foxton, and I think, now that guy's huge. He rides around these 15'2". So I've just got to learn to pick my legs up when I go over the bigger fences. It's fairly straightforward. I think I can do this. It's going to be fun.
I would say that probably William Fox Pitt could be your example of your mentor and your inspiration, not Leslie Wiley. So go with the William Fox Pitt.
Ah, poor Leslie.
I'll take a bit from both.
That's so cool. I'm so excited for you. How many did you set out for a Highland pony, or did it just kind of pop up, or how many horses did you look at?
Wow. When I had to have poor Rowley put down, the whole month after that, it was just tears and frustration and I just didn't want to even look at another horse or anything. And people, all your friends, your best kind friends come along and say, I've got a nice horse for you. And you think, no, go away. Don't want to look at anything. Don't want to even go there. And I went away on holiday with my husband and we kind of had a long chat about it. And then because I used to deal with Highlands, I then got in touch with friends in Scotland and I went up there and I had 48 hours and I booked in to see 6 ponies. So I was literally hopping from one hand. And I was thinking, Edinburgh to Inverness is not that far. It's like 4 hours driving between seeing these ponies and then going on and seeing another one. So it was pretty full on. But he was the first one I tried out. I tried out 5 others who were all lovely, but he was the one who just made me smile.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm so happy for you. It is just, there's an expression on your face that is just kind of comes from the soul on the picture of you with him. And it's just that little like squee. Oh my God,
yeah.
That's so exciting.
That's how I run around the house. My husband is just sick to death of hearing about it.
bet he is too. Now, are you going to, it seems like everybody in England hunts also. Are you going to hunt with this pony?
No, I'm not really up for the hunting.
No, okay.
I'm not a fan, sorry.
Okay, got it.
I much prefer to keep them all alive. Yeah, not really a fan of, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But he would hunt very well, I'm sure, because he's so strong and he pulls like a little steam train. So yeah, I'm sure he'd enjoy it.
So well, there's a lot of contact, you're saying, with this pony.
So at the moment, I'm having my first dressage lesson on Friday, where we're going to learn to see if he can actually bend through his neck and whether it is possible to stop on command.
details. Typical you'll work pony. All that out.
Exactly. I've got all the time in the world.
That's wonderful. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to follow your progress. Well, I have decided that I need, because my husband is now an airline pilot and I can fly for free, I plan to visit all of our international listeners. So you are officially on
Yay!
The list. And what's
you
what's
are
our
welcome.
What's our pony's name again? How do you say it again?
Docky.
I'm going to visit you.
Very well.
Docky.
For you, actually, in your accent, that was pretty good going, Jamie.
Thank you. I'm good at accents.
Yeah, don't get her started, Fiona. Don't get her started.
Because absolutely, I can do Scotland just as well as anybody.
Absolutely, yep. That's very Mary Poppins.
Scotland, I just did Scotland.
That's funny.
Brilliant.
Well, thank you so much, Fiona, for coming on this morning. We really love hearing about our listeners' new ponies. And thank you
That's
so much for being an auditor also.
That's a pleasure. And I want to say to Jamie, I'm so pleased that Lucky's doing so well, because I've sort of followed his progression. And I'm just so chuffed that A, he's put on weight. He's got a glossy coat. He's just, credit to you and all your hard work. So well done there.
Well, I think you were one who helped out. Credit to you, and thank you very much. And thanks for being a part of it. And you're being a part of the Auditor family. Isn't the Auditor page just like the best page on Facebook?
They're so lovely. Well, I put that picture on there this morning because I was overexcited anyway. Put the picture up there and I've had so many lovely messages. It's just, they're just such a big family and I love it.
It's really cool. Really cool. So I'm so excited. Give him a carrot from us, please, and tell him I love him.
I will. And a hug, and I'll plait his mane for you. And I'll shower his hair.
He does have a long mane. You have a lot of braiding to do.
Exactly. But I'll keep you all posted. I'll keep our little progress up to date. on Facebook. All right.
Definitely do that. We want to know when you go to your first show. We want to see pictures of everything, okay?
Yeah.
We're invested.
I'll make sure you do.
All right. Thanks, Fiona.
All right, thanks.
Thank you ever so much. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
I could listen to her talk all day.
Oh my God. She's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
She is
like,
cute.
She's the English accent that she has is the one that we like really think of when you're really going over the top English accent.
Yes.
And like, it's mine. I'm like, oh my God, she sounds like Mary Poppins.
Jennifer did post her picture on Facebook. So if you're wondering what Fiona and her new adorable pony look like, it is on Facebook. So you can check it out there. You know, we can continue that because I found a horse and hound article, appropriately enough, on the 6 horses you'll come across when you're looking to buy. And I should have kept her on because she saw 6 ponies. This was probably the 6 she saw. And you've done a lot of horse shopping recently. We have too. And my sister-in-law here in Florida, who lives near us, is now shopping for a horse. You want to hear the 6 kinds you're going to find, and we'll see if you've had all 6 when trying out ponies.
Okay.
How about the one that feels like it's about to take off like a rocket ship? It's advertised as a novice ride, totally bomb-proof, and a drop on a rope. But it's tense, snorty, and sweating like crazy, and you just feel like it's about ready to explode.
That's the one that I went to go see, and the video was of this really cute chestnut with 4 white socks at Masterson Station Park, of all places, which is in Kentucky, and the horse was out here, and it had a really wide blaze, and it was so beautiful, and I was so excited. I'm like, why is this horse for sale in Arizona? And I go out there, and this thing is a fire-breathing dragon with 2 white socks and a skinny blaze. It was a different freaking horse in the video they sent me. and this thing was walking around on its hind legs, like about to blast off. And I said, I'm sorry, you gave me a different video. This isn't the horse in the video. And they were like, well, he has the same name. We just Googled him. Oh my God. And it was that kind of blast off, like, you know, and I even thought I could have fixed him, but he was like 17 years old. He's supposed to be a lesson horse.
Yeah, he's going to take you a long time to overcome that.
But great kids horse, lesson horse. Go ahead. Take him home with you.
Yeah. You know what? They never ride that one first when you show up. There's always an excuse. They just had an illness or they, you know, whatever.
I was in a car accident. I hurt my back.
Yeah. They never ride that one first. That's always your first clue is they don't get on the horse. Second thing, the second kind of horse you find when you're going to buy one is the one in the creepy rundown yard. And we know you've had that because you posted pictures that time of the creepy rundown yard.
I take horses out of crappy rundown yards all the time. Because I feel sorry for them.
They always have the broken down furniture. That's where we got Scooter. I mean, it was kind of that way.
Tractor parts in their pasture.
How about no front door on the one we were at?
Really?
Yeah, there was no front door, which I kind of felt sad about that. But then you probably shouldn't have 15 horses that are starving either. But that's a different story. The one you just feel sorry for. You're told he's been there, done that. He's got the t-shirt. And yes, it has, but now it's so run down and arthritic that you're reluctant even to go get on the exhausted looking animal for a test ride.
Again, I'd buy it.
Yeah, you would. That's your kind of horse right there. I'll say
give me an old man, I'll take it home.
How about the one that's actually as described? So much so it freaks you out. You get there and it's the rare beast. It's the right price. It should be more expensive than that. And all of a sudden your radar goes up and you're going, there's got to be something wrong. This is too good to be true.
I went to a horse sale. You know, I was buying the horse for a client, and I'm like, wait a second. I just had like a very pleasant experience.
I know.
What is going on? Went to a nice facility, and it was like the horse was as described, and it was normal, and everybody was pleasant, and they were smart. And I'm like, where am I? This is the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, I need to get this vet checked. There's something wrong. There is just something wrong. This $700 horse, I need to get a vet checked. There's something wrong.
He wasn't $700, but I was like, this is like a really nice experience. How is this possible?
It happens so seldom. The one that doesn't trick or tick any of your boxes, but you're viewing it anyway. You know, you're getting desperate. You've looked at 12 horses. None of them have worked out. And now all of a sudden you see the one on there that does. It's nothing like what you had on your checklist, but you're going to go anyway.
I was looking for a 17-hand horse and I bought a pony.
I bought a Highland pony that's 13-2.
Oh,
that's right.
God.
You know, that happens with houses too. When you're house hunting, that same thing happens. We had one listener, I wish I could remember which one it was, one of our auditors, spent, what, a year house hunting and finally found a house and was able to close on it. She went through more nightmare to find the right house and to actually get a mortgage and get it all done. I felt so bad for people who have to go through that.
Well, it's just like buying a horse. I mean, my God. Yeah, I've had clients that want to go look at horses, and it's like a year. I think this last client, that we looked at 40 horses, you know, and like, oh, that's a, you know, when I get a commission, that's not really worth it. I was like, I've spent a year with you. I don't like you anymore.
How about the last one? The one with the terrifying, overbearing seller.
Yeah, well, they're like used car sale. Oh, you know what? You know what? You better buy it. I got somebody coming in an hour that is serious about this horse. I need you. You want to take this horse home? You've got to take it home right now.
Right now.
Can put it in the trailer. I can deliver it to you. We take cash, check, money order, whatever you want to do. But I've just got to let you know that this is how what happened with Will, that old quarter horse we bought. I've got somebody coming from Mexico, like from the Tucson, almost to Mexico, and they're bringing a truck and they're buying this horse sight unseen. So you've got about 6 hours to make your decision, because I don't know. I think he's going to head south pretty soon. And I'm like, oh my God, she's strong arming me into telling me that they're selling this horse to the kill buyers.
That's right. That's basically what it is.
And
too.
Of course, at that point, Chad was like, sold. We'll take him. Shut up. We'll take him. He goes, you can't buy that horse for $250. He's like, he's got one eye. He's 100. He's got arthritis and he's skin and bones. And he goes, I'm giving her $250 to shut the F up. I'll never forget. We had the blessed horse for 2 years. And he's bought like two horses since then. And he has really good taste. But if he wants it, we'll do it.
I have a couple other quick stories here for you, too. One of them is that Harry and Snowman is opening in theaters across the country on September 30th. Now, it's a limited release. I have the link in the show notes down in the news section if Jennifer wants to post it directly to the list of places it's opening. Now, September 30th, so that's next Friday. And it is going to be California, Colorado, Florida, and a couple of places, Illinois, Michigan, New Jersey. And it is opening on October the 7th in Phoenix, and also a couple of places in Flagstaff and Scottsdale. So it's going to be opening in Phoenix in your area. Go check the listings there on the website. It's harryandsnowman.com. If you want to go take a look, there's a list of all the theaters where it's opening. And of course,
oh my gosh, it's so exciting. We've been waiting years.
I know. We're going to have to go to Orlando, it looks like, Jennifer, to see it. That's the closest place. So we'll have to take a trip to Orlando and see it.
October 7th, Phoenix, Arizona. Flagstaff, Prescott, nothing at all close to where I live. But that's
you know what? If a certain something works out, we might be able to see it together.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No, that first night, if a certain something works out.
Let me see.
Yeah, because it's in that town. So we'll have to think about that. Also, another interesting fun story is that Ronald Reagan, of course, past president, you know, he was a real big horse guy. He loved, and your dad is going to love this, by the way. Do not tell him about this or he will be buying
it. I actually was looking through it and I was like, I wonder if there's something I could get him.
No, I don't think there will be.
No.
So Ronald Reagan was a big Wild West guy. Of course, he was in movies about West. He was an actor. And he got a lot of gifts when he was president. Well, they're going to be selling some of those and some of his memorabilia at Christie's auction starting today. Yeah, starting today. Today and tomorrow, they're going to be selling some of his memorabilia, including a pair of Tony Lama boots. Now, these aren't just any Tony Lama cowboy boots. And, of course, Tony Lama makes some of the best cowboy boots in the world. These were a gift from Rex Allen, who your dad would know. A movie, probably that came up in conversation with Monty over the weekend with you and your dad. Rex Allen probably came up in conversation.
I'm
he
sure.
was known as the singing cowboy. Well, he got together with Tony Lama, and they bought a, or they had a pair of boots made for the president, and these are black cowboy boots that have the presidential seal on them. They think they might be the only cowboy boots in existence that actually have the presidential seal that were owned by a president.
That's crazy.
They're expecting these boots to go for an estimated $10,000 to $20,000. So how much do you love your dad?
Yeah, not that much. I mean, I love him that much. I just can't afford that much.
They also have some gun belts and holsters that were gifts. They have a whole bunch of other stuff. It's all listed at, on the what auction company did I say it was?
Christie's.
It's all listed on the Christie's auction company website. They have bronzes, some Western art, saddle work, some upholstery that was used in some of the stuff, and there's just a whole bunch of stuff listed there. It's a lot of cowboy and Western themed motif, and they're expecting a lot of the items to go between $10,000 and $20,000. So this is a huge collector's auction, and of course he was a beloved president for many, so I'm sure this is going to go big time.
Yeah.
That was cool. Now, the bizarre story. Do you want the bizarre story of the week?
I don't know. Is this going to ruin my day?
No, this is just bizarre. And it's a bizarre individual. And this is in Omaha. There's been this guy seen riding around town who is a quote-unquote artist who took a child's bouncy horse. Do you know what I mean? The plastic horse that's on the springs that children get when they're little and they bounce on it? Do you know what I mean?
Like the ball? The big ball or like
no,
one of
this
those
is,
like
this is the it's a plastic horse and the child sits on it and it's on springs.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You bounce up and down.
Yes.
Well, he took that off the springs and he rigged it up to make it into a motorcycle. Now, a tiny little motorcycle. And what drives the motorcycle are two cordless drills. One on each side where the pedals would be. He attached these cordless drills that are battery operated. He rigged up a system that he can make the drills go faster to drive a chain for the tires from his handlebars so he can control it from the handlebars. And then he took one of those great big foam cowboy hats that you see, the great big ones, the oversized foam cowboy hats that you see in stores sometimes, and he put that on the horse. And this is what he uses as his mode of transportation around Omaha. Now, this is a full-grown guy. Apparently, he's caused quite the commotion as he's driving around Omaha on this kind of bouncy horse thing. And he's known to be a little eccentric, to say the least. He's posted signs in Walmart and Target around the area imploring shoppers to pause and ask themselves why they need to buy new things. Now, personally, I don't like buying used food, so I'm kind of partial to buying new food. But he's kind of eccentric. He's known as an artist, and I'm using that in quotes. He also said, "It keeps me smiling, it keeps my friends smiling, and it keeps my neighborhood happy." So that's kind of just my bizarre story. You have to see it to believe it. It's bizarre.
You forgot to mention, unless you did, that it glows in the dark.
Oh, I did forget to mention that it glows in the dark. Yes.
It's beautiful.
You know, with all the creepy clown stories around the country right now, I'm not sure I'd want to be driving this thing around.
Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about all the clowns hiding in the woods.
Yeah, that's right. If it was a creepy clown riding this thing around, he'd be arrested that day.
I gotta tell you, yeah, he'd be shot. just the other night, my husband has been flying for the airlines, and he decided to come home. He was able to catch the last flight of the day out of LA to come home to Phoenix. And then he would get in Phoenix and then drive to the house, which would put him in the house at about 1 a.m. Okay. And in my husband's brain, he's like, I'm going to surprise her.
Oh, no.
I'll surprise her. And about halfway home, he realizes
it's 1
this might not be a good idea. Let me just shoot her a little text.
As you know, most horse girls don't stay awake till 1 a.m.
No, I'm not awake, but there is, if I hear a noise,
yeah,
you better watch out. I got a bat. I actually, two nights before this, I was by myself and I was like, I wonder where the bullets are for the shotgun. I need to know where these things are in this house because I have to protect my family. And so like he got smart about halfway home and gave me a text message, which I then read, like, could hear, woke up and read because I keep my phone next to the bed. And it's a good thing he did because he came home and even though I had read the text message, I went right back to sleep. I still at 3 a.m. woke up and there's a person in my bed and I, yeah! Don't surprise me with anything. I don't even want a surprise birthday party. I didn't like it when he surprised me proposing. Like, let's just get this out and get it over with and, like, not have to just wait for you to... Again, I can't take it. I can't take surprises. And he's finally learned, even though he let me know he was coming home, I still woke up screaming in bed because there was a human better than me.
I learned a long time ago, you don't surprise a horse girl. You probably don't surprise any girl, but you don't surprise a horse girl because they are on alert.
There are people that love surprises. Oh, yeah! I'm like, no, I'll hit you with a baseball bat. You sneak up on me. Come on.
We saw that when we were out when we were on vacation and we saw the elk and Grandpa Elk was keeping an eye on his flock of cows. I got to tell you, they are on alert all the time. And that's the way horse girls are about their animals and about their children. They're on alert all the time. I don't know how that bull did not have ulcers because he didn't even stop to eat. They said that a bull during rutting season can lose up to 200 pounds because they just don't eat because they're on alert the whole time.
No,
so that's you guys. That's what you're like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a bull elk in rutting season.
That's exactly what you are. Without the larger, well, I was going to say without the larger act, but that would come out wrong. sorry, I said that now. All right, that's let's finish the show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Trail Ride episode tomorrow with the NATRC, and then Jamie's back on Friday for a brand new episode of Really Bad Ads. We haven't done that in a long time. Get your ads in. We want to hear you guys say some of them, too. So record them on your phones and send them over to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. A box of really crappy crap from my closet is up for up to win this month. Thanks, Jamie. Thank you to all our guests. Thank you to Ovation for sponsoring, and thank you to our auditors and our listeners for being so cool.
All right, everybody, have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld.